Okay, we're holding today on Daf Kuf Gimel, and Sabra Josh will give us a rousing.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Potchim yabelet b'mikdash, avalo b'mdina, v'im b'kli kad v'kanasur. Once again, we're continuing with our theme of the Mishnayot over here. The differences between Shvut b'mikdash and elements that are osur b'medina that are mutar b'mikdash, which involve us also in the secondary theme of Bachshirei Mitzvah being Dochenes HaShabbos. We've raised the question of whether the Dochenes HaShabbos only in a place where they couldn't have been done before Shabbos. And we've also now have to deal with the question of whether, if there is a way to avoid being Mechalel Shabbos, whether, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, we will attempt to do things in a way which is least damaging to Shabbos. We opened up, as we usually do, we opened up that circuit with the question of if we can get away with making a loop in a musical instrument, would that be better than actually being kosher anima? Or is there an advantage to fixing it properly anyway? Which already opened up, maybe we would even make a gezeira in order to try to avoid as much as possible. And in fact, it turns out that this is going to be an issue here as well. So Chutchin Yabelet, the question over here is that a korban, or according to the Rambam and some of the other Rishonim, it's actually referring to a Kohen and not to the korban. But clearly in the Gemara we bring other cases like the korban Pesach that has a Yabelet, so it might as well be referring to korban anyway. Chutchin Yabelet b'migdash. So here we have now a growth that passes the korban or the Kohen. Yabelet is one of the listed mumim. We can do that and cut it off in the Mikdash of Aloba Medina. You cannot do that outside of the Beit HaMikdash. We'll see the questions of whether Gazrinan or Lo Gazrinan Shvut B'Mikdash would mean something that's needed for the Mikdash. Would we not be Gozer even outside of the Mikdash? Because that's what you immediately think. Is the question over here the place, or is the question over here the element that I need? I need this animal for a korban. So could I do that even shelo b'mikdash? It's another one of the things that immediately comes to mind. V'im b'kli, if you're talking about using a knife, a surgical instrument, to take off the yabelet, then kan v'kan asur would be prohibited even in the mikdash. Seems to be saying it's not going on l'ibud Rabbi Eliezer because these are makshirei mitzvah, it should be mutter even if it needs an instrument. So let's see. Rabbeinu, our first problem is that we know when it comes to the Korban Pesach, the din over there is harkavato v'havato michutz l'tchum v'chatichat yivalto ein dochi. So to carry the Korban Pesach in Rishut HaRabim, or to bring it michutz l'tchum, or to cut a yabelet is not doche Shabbos. Again, this is going shalok, Rabbi Eliezer holds b'chshirin mitzvah dochin et haShabbat. Rabbi Eliezer omer dochin. So how do we explain the fact that over here, according to the Rabbanan in our Mishnah, even though they're not willing to be Mechalel Shabbos with a Kli, nonetheless they say that you could get rid of the Yavelet, beyond at least, and here in Psachim, it says that even Chatichat Yavelet is not Deicha. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina have two approaches. One of them says, look, both Mishnayot, here and in Psachim, are referring to a yabelet, which is lacha. In other words, it's still a living piece of tissue, and it's supplied with blood vessels. But lokasha, the problem is not a problem, because kan biyad, kan bikli. Note that our Mishnah that's being matir specifies that alibad rabbonan, I'm only being matir because I'm doing with shinui. I'm telling you, you can pull it off biyadayim, but you can't cut it off with a surgical instrument. Okay, the Mishnah over there, Psachim, wasn't referring to using your fingers. It says over there, Chatichat Yivalto, which would mean using a razor. And that explains it very simply. Now, obviously, the objection to this explanation is that the Mishnah already includes Imbikli Kan Vekanasar, in which case you're not really adding any new information there. And that the Gemara will talk about. V'chadomer, the other man, the Omer, says, no. Both Mishnayot are talking about Ovah HaBiyad. V'lo kasha ha-balacha ha-biyavisha. where we're going to be matir biyad is dafka, where we're talking about a yabelet which is not really alive. But when it comes to a living yabelet that's still supplied with a blood supply, there already we won't be matir, even biyad. Why does he object to the more reasonable explanation that we're not simply reviewing the difference between Yad v'Kli, which is beferish in our Mishnah, but rather we're introducing a new issue to add information? Isn't that a more reasonable explanation? Why doesn't he say that Enoch and Ami both are talking about biyad, and nonetheless, the Mishnah asers there because we're talking about a living yabelet, and that would be asur afilu biyadayim. Omar lecha, the reason that I refuse to say that pshat is because then you're telling me that yevesha is the case of our Mishnah, and the Mishnah is being matir yevesha only biyad, which I think is ridiculous. Because if it were yevesha, then afilu b'klinami shari. It makes no difference once it's yevesha whether you use a scalpel or whether you use your hands. My taima ifrucha yifrucha. Because what you're talking about over here is not really cutting. You're talking about dry tissue, which basically is just flaking off. So what's not going to do? If you flake it off with a hand, or you flake it off with a razor. Why would the Mishnah say that im b'kli tan v'kan osur? Why would it be osur? It's not alive anyway. It's not really mechuber. Therefore, I can't accept that explanation. So I'm stuck with saying both Mishnayos have to be referring to a case of living. It's lacha. And the difference is, the difference that's stated, that one is b'kli and one is b'yad. Uleman diomar, ha b'lacha, ha b'yevesha, my time elohama, ha b'yad v'ha b'kli. Why, in fact, does he want to say that the difference is lacha and yevesha? Why not say the clear difference that we know? What do you mean? That's the problem, that we know it already. B'kli hatznan. That it says b'firush and b'kli. Tell me something new. Don't review now something I know already. The Edok, the other man Yomar says, well, now wait a minute. That's not so simple. The reason that over there we find the repetition about Chatichat Yivalto is because there it introduces the din of Rebbe Eliezer. Our Mishnah doesn't mention that there's a sheet that holds that it's mutter because Makshire Mitzvah Deichenes HaShabbat. It doesn't mention Rebbe Eliezer, so obviously we need to repeat that in the context of the Machlokas Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbana. To tell me that a little bit of Rebbe Eliezer, it makes no nafkamina. The Edah, the other man, the Omar says, well, now wait a minute. The other cases that are brought there, that is the part of the Machlokas Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbana, refer to cases that are dirabbana, not to cases that are performing surgery on Shabbos, which is the Oraisa. Because, look, it says over there, Har Kavato. Are you trying to tell me that carrying a Korban Pesach, Arba Amish, Pershus Arabim on Shabbos, is a Malacha D'Oraisa? Do we not hold that Achai Nosei Et Atzmo? And that Midioraita, a living organism that's being carried, you're not Chayav on a Hotza'ah, because it is also part of the carrying, balancing its weight. And therefore, that's not called Hotza'ah. And if you're telling me the thing about that habatomi chutzat chum, are you telling me that chumim are diraisa? I don't assume so. So if that's the case, just like akavatov habatomi chutzat chum katoni, which are durabonon, so too then the case of cutting has got to be durabonon. All of a sudden you're throwing in a case where it's lacha, the idach, the other man says, no, it's all diraisa, my friend. Har Kavato is not like Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan is the source of the Shita that Achai no Seat Atzmo. Adarabba. This is going not according to Rabbi Natan. We don't hold Achai no Seat Atzmo, at least in a non-human. We saw the baby differences back in Shabbos. Havato Michutz Tchum. That's going like Rabbi Akiva Yom Tchum in the Oraisa. Therefore, everything makes very good sense. So that we're talking about Enoch Inami, discerned in the Oraisa. Masir Rabbi Yosef, Omar Rabbi Eliezer. Here, take a look. Whatever Rabbi Eliezer says in the continuation of the Machlokas of Pesachim and Abrais, Umar Shchita Shemishum Malacha Dolchei Hashabbat. If the Torah is ready to be mechalal Shabbos for a korban with an actual act of shmita, you're telling me that there is a problem of bringing the korban Pesach where you're going to be over mishum shvut? Uh-oh. So obviously, if it's mishum shvut, it is alibud Rabbi Natan. It's not alibud Rabbi Akiva. It isn't talking about a doing a malacha d'oraisa with the yabelet. So eino din shiyitchut haShabbat. So for sure, these things that are only rabbanan, for sure should be Torah Shabbos. Elam Rabbi Yosef, therefore Rabbi Yosef says like this, look, the truth is habaha biyad. Fine. I still say, both of the situations, both there in Pesachim and here in Eruvim, is talking about that the yabelet is to remove biyad. However, I'm not ready, I'm still not ready to say that our Mishnah is talking about a yavesh, because yavesh would have been mutra afilu b'kli. It doesn't make sense to say that dafka biyad and not b'kli, so I'm not ready to change my mind on that. And the point over here is that the reason that we're saying over here that in the case of a korban that it would be mutter even though it's lacha is because the isser of lacha would only be a shvut, and therefore the nafkamina between the two mishnayot is very simple. By Pesachim, it's talking about bringing the korban Pesach, so you're not in the Beit HaMikdash. Here it's talking about Chotchin Yabelet BaMikdash. That's the difference. Exactly that is the difference. Both of them are talking about Biyad. Both of them are talking about Lacha. The Shvut BaMikdash, a Shvut, it should say BaMikdash, a Shvut that is required for the Beit HaMikdash, BaMikdash. When you are currently at that moment in the Beit HaMikdash, that yes, but Shvut HaMikdash BaMedina lo hitiru. So even though what's needed for the Korban Pesach is a Shvut, so to speak, for Tzorche Mikdash, but it's not in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash we're not Gezer, and we're Matur al Shvusim. But out of the Mikdash, even though I need it for the Pesach Mikdash, we're not Matur even Chatichas Yavelet B'Yadayim, which is only a Shvut. And that explains the difference. Sorche Mikdash, a Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach Shabbos, I have to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, it has a Yabelet. I'm bringing it, is a Shvus? Takes time to get there, no? It's talking about I'm bringing in Michutz to Tchum, was the question over here, whether I'm going to be mad to that. So clearly I'm not in the Beis HaMikdash yet. Yosef Abayev Karmelo Shemaitza. So Abayev was saying over what Rabbi Yosef told him. So Rav Safra said, it's not true. It's not true what Rabbi Yosef is saying. Because Rabbi Yosef is claiming that we are not going to be matir shvut outside of the Beit HaMikdash, even the Tzorche Mikdash. For heaven's sakes, we just had the case of Hakori Sefer Ala Skufa, where over there, it's also an issue of Mikdash, of the Dover Mikudash, and we're not Gezer Shvus. Why aren't we Gezer? Maybe the Sefer will fall, or you're going to end up bringing it to yourself, and so on. We're not Gezer. So you see that we're not Gezer on issues of Shvus, even outside of the Mikdash, even in the Medina. So Hayakori, the Sefer Ala Skufa, which is the earlier Mishnah, Vinit Galgela, Sefer Miyado Gololo Etzlo, V'ahacha the Shvut da Mikdash ba Medina. This is essentially a Shvut that is Nogea Dvarim Mekudashim, but not in the Beit HaMikdash. What happened to the standard Gezerah, which we're always afraid that something that if we're going to mamat you to bring it back, then you'll end up, you'll bring it back even if it fell, and then you'll be over in Yisidi Raita. What? That's a question. What, you forgot the way we learned the Sugya? The Sugya was talking about that the Yiskufa was a Karmeli, which had a Rishut HaRabim overt lefaneha, and we said over there, Kivan Dei Gudo, B'yadoa, Filo Shvut Nami Leka. That wasn't because we were doing Matar Shvut, only Alibi to Rabbi Shimon, but we were learning that since you have a Gudo B'yado, and the whole Isser anyway from a Karmeli, and a Yiskufa's Karmeli, Rishut HaRabim, is the Rabbanan, where you have a Gudo B'yado, you know, even have an issur shvut. So that's not a kasha at all. Tosis points out that the opening Mishnah is an unanswerable kasha. Lamaisa, we're matir carrying back piles of tefillin, pochas mi'ar ba'amis, which is certainly a shvus, a very powerful shvus. What are we ignoring that for? We're being matir that. There's no way to get out of that one. It's the easiest thing in the world to end up carrying more than our ba'amis. Nonetheless, we're being matir because of the tzurach ha'tefillin. So Tosis has to say that the Gemara is taking consideration as a dover posher that hatalab bizayon is more than simply the question of shvus b'mikdash. It's not simply the tzorah for mikdash. That's already a different issue. An absolute bizayon, as opposed to a sefer that's hanging off or numela, so you'll be ma'apech alaktav. But tefillin that may be given over l'shosim and bizayonot and God knows what, they'll make wallets out of them or who knows. So there, over there, we're matir, not because it's just the mikdash, but simply the general idea of chilul Hashem and bizyonos and so on. That, of course, will be matir. But we don't see that as part of the overall addressing the issue of whether we're going to shvus mikdash.
Is it a bit of a jump to shvus mikdash because of the base of mikdash to say shvus doesn't count because of
Devar? Okay, but Allah is kind of the kana.
I understand that, but. What's the whole question?
If the broadest sense of Shvus B'Migdash is that we're even Matir Dvorim Mekudashim outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Koshikin will be Matir Korban Pesach. You're ready to be Matir Shvus outside of the Beis HaMikdash and serve Dvorim Mekudash. So a Korban Pesach, you're saying only in the Beis HaMikdash? Doesn't make sense. But Mashen came, Menuye Bizayon. You're right. There, that's exactly what Tosfos is saying, is what you're saying. That's already not the same category. Fine. However, we do have another question from Pesach itself. Eitveh. Mishal shalina ta Pesach v'tanur im chashecha. The halacha is over here that you're allowed to put the Korban Pesach into the tanur even as it's becoming now dark. Normally, of course, you're not allowed now on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to put something into the tanur because of Shema Yachateh B'Gechalim. As we had very early in the Masechet Shabbat, we have that problem. So why over here are you allowed to do so for a Korban Pesach? Why aren't we afraid that people are going to hurry it up so that it'll be ready for them to eat? So obviously it's a shvut that has to do with a Migdash.
This is Erev Shabbos.
Erev Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach.
Right.
And we're being matred b'medina. V'lo gazrina shema yechateh b'gichalim. So I don't understand. How did you sit there and accept Rabbi Yosef's strat?
Why is that a shvus?
You mean that's a classic shvus? Don't cook Erev Shabbos because you'll come to be mechatah b'gichalim. Sure.
Erev Shabbos?
Absolutely. Ishtik. Ooh, boy, that really got him. You know how to get out of that one. So he comes to Rabbi Yosef, comes back to Rabbi Yosef, he says, oh man, I was sitting over your Torah and they embarrassed me. I'm Malay Ochi, I'm Safra.
It's outside the wall called Medina, right?
Yeah.
In Yerushalayim?
Yeah.
Ben HaChomot, that's called Medina?
In these terms, you're talking about the Rambam Shita, that Ben HaChomot is called Mikdash technically, but it's not for Gabi this. Gabi other halachas are Mikdash. But in terms of the Gezer of Shusanah, the Samar, yeah. Furthermore, this is wherever you are. So Amarli Rav Safra, it's called Amarli Rav Safra. Amarli, so Rav Yossi said to him, my God, you sat there and you took that from him? When the answer is right in front of your nose, you embarrass me. My time alot Shanela, you should have told him that, obviously. B'nei chabur azrizimein. That's the same idea as Kayanim in the Beis HaMikdash azrizim. We're not gezer b'mokum azrizim. The B'nai Chabura who are being Isaac and a Korban are also people who know what they're doing. There's reason they're not going to come to be Chayta B'Gecholim. That's what you should have told them. This isn't the standard case of Bamedina. B'nai Chabura is called Bamedina. V'Abaye. Why didn't Abaye hold to that? Because Abaye says what? Kolanim is Rizim Him, yes. Because the very fact that they're being Isaac in the Aveda means that they've gone through their training course, which is the 5 years you have to be trained and so on. We won't accept you into the Beis HaMikdash unless you've been checked over by the Beis Din. So if you're there, it means we assume you're knowing you're doing your job. Mashen king, b'nei chabur is rizim ein. What? Because every klutz gets together in order to with the blind leading the blind, and everybody claims they know exactly what they're doing. And why should I say that there's rizime? That law amrina.
Is that related to what we said earlier about the single dwelling in the apartment versus multiple that won't happen kind of thing?
It's not the fact that it's rabim, it's the fact that not necessarily are they bekiyim. Rava Amar Rabbi Eliez, Rava Amar Rabbi Eliez. Rava says, you know, truth is there's bechlal, no problem at all. Indeed, we could say that both cases are referring to biyad, and anyway, we're going to be makbid on not cutting it off. It's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliez, or also bakshire. Mitzvah Derknas HaShabbos, the reason that you didn't want to say that we're going Aliba to Rebbe Eliezer, of course, is because all along you assumed Aliba to Rebbe Eliezer, why would be Mimachalik between a Kli and a Yad? I mean, why can't we just go, ah, because you thought that Aliba to Rebbe Eliezer, it doesn't matter, even if it's avoidable, there's no point in avoiding the Chilul Shabbos, and that is not true. Because Rebbe Eliezer is a moda, he indeed argues on the Mishnah in Pesachim, as he does in the, he argues in Pesachim. Over here we're going on with Rebbe Eliezer. Why not go all the way? Because he's moda the Kamadev Shlishnei Mishanina. If it's possible to be chaytech biyadayim, be chaytech. Don't use a knife. My, what are we referring to? How do you know such a thing? Where did you ever see that according to Rebbe Eliezer that you're supposed to be Mashana where possible? The Tanya. Kohen sha'al tabo yabelet. In the Braita it says that if a Kohen has a wart of some kind, then chavero chotchalo bishinav. His friend should bite off that wart with his teeth. Now, first of all, you see over here, you got to have an awfully good friend. Bishinav im beklilo. So first of all, he's saying, you got to use your teeth, and not a kli. And furthermore, you can't even be your own teeth. Chaveiro in, but iulo. In other words, because if he would do it himself, then he would be able to be more mitaken. So now, explain to me, who is saying that, okay? Money. Ilami Rabbanan. We're talking about the Rabbanan, we're being matir. And the Rabbanan say that it's, and it's talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, that even though it's a Shavuos, but in the Beis HaMikdash, it would be mutter. I don't understand you. Even Dami Rabbanan Bialma Mishum Shavuos. It happens to be that there's a general machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbanan completely outside of the question of whether Makshir and Mitzvah Dovah, a separate machlokas about what the din is about biting your nails on Shabbos, right? So over there, Rebbe Eliezer holds that biting your nails is considered to be a diraita gezeiza. Because it's normal for you to bite your nails. So that's not considered to be dam shelo kedarko. So he holds that it's not also mishum shvus, it's also diraita. The Chachomim holds that biting your nails is also mishum shvus. So now, Rebbe Eliezer, in that machlokas is moda that biting somebody else's nails is only mishum shvus. Because that indeed is shaloka darko. Now, so if you're going to tell me that, you're going to try to tell me that we're talking about over here the Rabbanan are not machalic between biting your own nails and biting someone else's nails. It's always shaloka darko and it's a shvus. Therefore, what's the nafka mina to me whether we're talking about himself or you're talking about the friend? If you're telling me the point is not to be gozer in the mikdash, fine. Tell me that you can't use a kli, you have to use your teeth. I understand. So you're telling me I'm being matir shvut by mikdash. Lovely. But if you're telling me that it has to be done by somebody else, that makes no sense. I'll leave it to Rabbona. Why would it have to be done by somebody else? Ela lav Rebbe Eliezer. Must be that it's going, I'll leave it to Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says, normally, if you would bite your own nails or your own wart, so then, bi'alma, you would be chayef chatas. Therefore, over here, even though apagav the makshiri mitzvah deuchnes ha-shabbos, and lemaise, in order to be able to do the aveda, he should be allowed to even cut off this wart, nonetheless, kama de'ev shereshenuyim mishanina, as much as you can possibly change from the norm, you should. Therefore, have your friend bite it off instead of doing so yourself, which would be an issur d'oraisa. No, I don't accept it. Le'olam Rabbanan. It's going according to the Rabbanan. The reason that the Rabbanan say that your friend should bite it off is because it's on your back. Now, I dare you to bite it off yourself. So therefore, Le'olam Rabbanan, V'alta b'kreiso. If you're talking about that it came out on his stomach, Hokinami, oh yeah, I dare you. I gotta see that one.
Yeah, big stuff. Maybe never
mind. So ain't Hokinami. So if it's in a place where you can get at it, so then fine, you can take it off yourself. As long as it's shalok edarka, hachva mayaskinan could go and shaltalo. This nishicha is to be taken out, and many of the girsal do not have it in Gemara. Could go and shaltalo begabo. It's talking about that it came on your back, or batsileya davar to the back of your arm. The iu lo matzi shakalai. He himself can't get it off. So according to Rabbanan. Why do you need your teeth? I don't get it. Why don't you take it off with your hand? Why are you taking it off with your teeth? Teeth shot the Rabbi Elazar. So then are you telling me that this is the solution to Rabbi Elazar's standing question? That the Rabbi Elazar said, Machloket biyad, avobikli, divrei hakol chayav. So in other words, according to the way Rabbi Eliezer was understanding the machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, that they're arguing about whether biting your nails on Shabbos is the right Rabbanan. So he clarifies and says that you should know that of course the Rabbanan are made that cutting your nails is an issur d'oraisa. They're only talking about biting your nails or pulling one nail off of another nail. But my problem is if this is talking about the Rabbanan, you would be doing me a great service by saying nothing about teeth. Talk about yad. Because what you want to do is to tell me a chiddush. One chiddush that we have over here, okay, that's the given chiddush, that there's no shvus b'migdash, understand, and that we should go ahead and do that. If we had, however, said that we're going to be matir b'yadayim and not b'kli, so then he would have been teaching me that the machlokas is b'yad and not b'kli. That would be a nice chiddush. Because if it's done b'kli, that you're going to be over on gozeis. Even though you might have thought, gozeis, cutting a nail is gozeis. I mean, what are we going to make a beggar out of it? Maybe it's also not gozeis. So you'll be telling me a chiddush, that even according to Rabbanan, any removal of something from a baal chai is considered to be gozeis. Over here, however, once you tell me that you have to do it with your teeth, I can't come to the conclusion that, oh, it's only because I'm not doing it b'kli, that's why the Rabbanan are being matir. Because someone will turn around and say, excuse me, if that was the issue, why are they mentioning it to Elamai? What they're saying is, do whatever you can to do things in a crazy way. Because, I mean, we know for a fact that they hold that it would only be a Rabbanan anyway if I did it beyond. So maybe even if I do it b'kli, it's the Rabbanan. Therefore, it makes so much more sense for the Rabbanan to say that if we're talking about a case where we're being matir shvut, the shvut would be removal of the wart with your fingers. Well, then I would say, oh, why dafka with your fingers? Because if it was with a kli, it would be usur. Then you would be teaching me what Rabbi Elazar says, and it would be inherent to the statement of the Rabbanan. The way that you're putting it now doesn't make any sense. The way that you're putting it now is that you're using your teeth, which leads me to conclude, maybe there's no nafkamina between a yad and a kli, and they're just saying do things crazy. Why not say it correctly and tell me two chidushim? All right, but what kind of question is that? You could have asked the same question on Libra to Rabbi Eliezer. But time, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could also say, Nishkalei Nialei Biyad, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to be Osir Midiraisa, even in biting your nails, right? Whether you pull off your nails, you're biting your nails, you're biting a wart. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could ask me the same way. What's the nafka mina if you're using a yad or if you're using a tooth? Anyway, you're going to be chayav. And we're being matir. So I see back to him. That makes absolutely no sense. I might. What are you asking me? Iyamet bishleim Rabbi Eliezer, don't you understand? Aliba the Rabbi Eliezer, the reason that we're saying dafka to use your tooth is gufa because of the fact that Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Echa de Efshel Shanuye Mishanina. So in other words, according to him, he holds Makshire Mitzvah L'Maiser Doichanas HaShabbos. The only reason that we're trying to make a Shinui over here is because Echa de Efshel Shanuye Mishanina is as I'm saying. So if that's the case, if I'm going to be Mishana, let me be Mishana in a way that is the greatest possible Shinoi. So you'll say, but you already Mishana to make it a Drabbanan by having his friend do it. True. But I want to be Mishana all the way. The way the Rabbanan are being Matir has nothing to do with being Mishana. Nothing at all to do with Mishana. It's a question. If it's Shvus, we're not Gozer B'migda. Period. So once it's a shvus, so tell me, it's beyad to shvus. According to Rebbe, this is how Tosfos understands the Gemara. According to Rebbe Eliezer, where the whole point is that really it would be mutter even a d'oraisa. So you're coming along now to say, I want to do the greatest shinui possible. If I don't show you that what I'm interested in is doing the maximum shinui, so then you would come, if I'm going to be matir biyad, to do it biyad yourself, which according to Rebbe Eliezer is in fact an issa d'oraisa, and I'm trying to be mishana as much as possible. But according to the Rabbana, the issue is not to be mishana. The issue is that a shvus is mutter, nafka mina, which shvus? Whether the shvus is because it's biyad, which according to them is a shvus, or the shvus is because it's chavero, or the shvus is because it's also b'shinav, none of that is relevant. What's relevant is that shvus, the Migdash, we're not going to be gezer, that's all. Therefore, if we're learning out Liba the Rebbe Eliezer, the whole thing works. Because that's why we're going to an extreme to create a case of Shinav and Chaveret. And it also proves, of course, my contention, the Rebbe Eliezer holds that even though Makshire Mitzvah Dekres HaShabbos, Hechad Efshel B'Shaninan, in any case, try to do it in a way that is as radically different than that way which causes an issur d'oraisa. So in this case, you have both the shinav, the friend, whatever you can do to avoid it. I'll leave it to Rabbanan, and none of that makes sense. As a matter of fact, it also violates common sense. Because if you could tell me two chidushim for the price of one, why are you telling me a case of shinav? Tell me the bigger chidush that the nafka mina is yadayim or yad or a kli. That's the nafka mina, and then that would have already told me the famous Maimer of Rebbe Lozer, which would now be said by the Chachomi. So again, Seira Bonan, doesn't it make more sense to say, Nishkele Niale Biyad, talk about a case of removing it with your fingers. Don't tell me it happens to be a case where it's on your back, some amela. You can't remove it. What is this for? Tell me a bigger Kiddush. Remove it Biyad, and then I'll know the Nafkamina that it's Biyad and Lobakli. Aye, so you say Latimech Rebbe Eliezer Nami Nishkele Niale Biyad. No, siri. Aye, my. No comparison. Then I explain, Hainu de Goza Yad Otukli. He doesn't want to let you use the Yad because he's trying to make a Gezera to avoid Chil Shabbos. According to him, Yad and Kli are similar. I over here, it's Chavero. But I don't want you to come to use a Kli. Eliam or Rabbanan, he Nishkele Niale Biyad. According to Rabbanan, it's enough Kamina. Don't keep fighting me on this, because you're getting to the point of absurdity. It's so clear that that's an afkamina. So can we please stop the discussion right now and move on to Sava Jash? Kohen shalaka be'etzpa'o. Now suppose a Kohen gets a wound. Before we spoke about the issue of taking off a bandage on Shabbos, can he put it back on? Suppose he gets a wound on Shabbos. What can he do about staunching the blood, about and not to mention that it's not exactly derech eretz to have an exposed wound in the Beis HaMikdash? What he can do is korech aleha gemi. He can say,
nothing that would pass avoda.
We'll see. The Gemara is going to ask, and obviously if it passes avoda, then it's contradictory to do it. So, even though lemaisa, a gummy, which is a natural growing reed, has in it antiseptic properties, so that what I would do on the non-Shabbos, if I'm in a place where I don't have any access to medicine, I would in fact use gemi. On Shabbos, I can't use gemi usually, because it's like a refuah, so I can't use a refuah on Shabbos. Here the Kohen's in a little bit of a pickle, because he can't put on an actual beged, because then he runs into problems of yitur begadim and so on, as we're going to see. But he can put on gemi, because it's in the migdash. Gemi is not a beged, and therefore there's no shvus of ripui in the migdash. So let him put on gemi, but there's only the migdash. Avalobe medina. Im lahotzi dam, if he wants to now put on this gemi under pressure, which will cause blood to come out of the wound, and he wants to sort of get rid of the pus and the blood that's in there, then kan v'kan asur, because since over here there's no need for such a thing for the Aveda, and you're being over on Chovel on Shabbat, what possible heter would there be even in Kohen Trub Eliezer? This is not makshir in mitzvah. And therefore, certainly, it would be asur. Omer of Yidabreder of Kielo Shanala Gemi. Note that the Mishnah is stressing using a reed to put on a cut. Avot Tziltzul Katan, even a small bandage, would be prohibited. Why? Because it would be Yitur Begadim. You'd be wearing an additional piece of clothing, and the Torah asers a Kohen, that is the Gemara Darshan's in Chulin, wearing an extra beged is the same as a mechusar begadim. Just like a mechusar begadim is ein kuhunatam alayem et adin of a zar, who does the aveda, so too ko yeter kichasar, and if he has an extra beged, then he's basically underdressed. New way of looking at sartorial issues. Overdressed is underdressed.
This is
the way to go, Jess.
That's right.
So, therefore, you can't use a tziltzul, even a small little bandage.
It's a piece of cloth.
Piece of cloth, yeah. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, a bandage wouldn't have been a problem. The only time is a yitur begadim is if you're wearing that in a place where you were supposed to be wearing one of the big day kahuna. But, you got something on the back of your hand, you put a bandage on the back of your hand, back of your hand is not a makom begadim. So why would there be a problem with yitur begadim? Shalove makom begadim. There's no issue of yitur begadim. Lo havi yitur begadim. So then, but wait a minute, what about the problem of b'chatzitza? If you're wearing... You're wearing anything, even the gemi. Isn't that a problem? You're going to have something between your hands in the aveda, and that's called a chatzitza in the aveda. So typically, mishum chatzitza. It's talking about over here was on your left hand. You can't do the aveda in the Beis HaMikdash with your left hand, or even if it was on your right hand, for that matter, it's the back of your hand. So be a mean shalobim makam aveda. That this whole discussion is chelik on Rav. Pligat Rav, because Rav quotes Rav Chista, making it clear, if it was b'makom begadim, forget about the question of yitur begadim. You don't need to come to yitur begadim. If you would be wearing something under the clothing of the Beis HaMikdash, that's a separate din of chatzitza. Not a chatzitza between your hand and the aveda, a chatzitza between your flesh and the beged. And it says over there, al bisaro, v'lovash al bisaro specifically. So if you have a chatzitza, it's not al bisaro. Therefore, there's no possible way that it could be b'makom begadim. And therefore, what we're talking about over here, shalo b'makom begadim. Shalo b'makom begadim is, in fact, a problem, not really of chatzitza, but of yitur begadim. But since we started the discussion in terms of using the word chatzitza as a beged between your flesh, doesn't really need a din of a beged, obviously, because something that's only a hair's breadth is not a beged, doesn't have a din of a beged, it needs to be shalosh or shalosh usually, is minimum. But we still will use the word, therefore, chatzitza, because we started with that word. So, shalosh b'makom begadim, shalosh or shalosh chatzitzas. Don't try to tell me that a small bandage is going to be a yitur begadim, which we are using the word chotzitzos as a very disturbing borrowed term here. Don't let it confuse you. So if it's not b'makom begadim, then only a 3x3 etzbaot is a shear of a beged. But pachot b'shalosh al shalosh einan chotzitzos. I don't have to worry about that. So first of all, ad Rabbi Yochanan, Varai Pliga. This is definitely not going on according to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said over here we wanted to say that Tzilzukotan is Yisur Begadim, and Rabbi Yochanan says Bechlal it's not Shayach Yisur Begadim Shelo B'makom Begadim. So the whole point that Rav Amram Rav Chista is saying is that B'makom Begadim Yitur Begadim is not an issue at all. Don't even talk about it. Because you don't even need a beged. You need anything, and that's a chatzitza. You don't need to come on to the din of Yitur Begadim. That's Vada. I mean, that's the whole point. Is he's coming to argue in Rabbi Yochanan. Don't tell me that I'm worrying about Yitur Begadim. If it's B'makom Begadim, I'm worrying about chatzitza, not Yitur Begadim. So that's out of the question. The Shaila is whether the fact that he says that the minimum shiur of a beged is 3x3 etzba'ot is chaylik on the mimer of Rabbi Yehuda Breda Reb Chiya, who says that you can't wear a bandage. Because a bandage is not usually 3x3. It's a major gauze pad. I mean, we're talking about tzitzel katan, is a tiny bandage, even on a small cut. So over there, it would seem on the surface that he would be arguing, because a bandage isn't 3x3, therefore, if it's shalom b'makom begadim, which it has to be, because then if it was b'makom begadim, even if it was gummy, it would be a chatzitza. And if it's shalom b'makom begadim, it's not 3x3, then it's not yitur begadim. So then, why would the Mishnah say dafka this again? Well, it would appear that he's arguing, and he's saying that, no, ain't nothing on you could have worn a tzitzel katan. So do we have to say that he argues? Minei Mepliga, he says, well, not necessarily. Shainei Tzitzel Katan D'Chashiv. The din of 3x3, after all, is a din in Chashivut. You're right that normally less than 3x3 doesn't have Chashivut. But you can't tell me that a bandage doesn't have Chashivut. That's its whole point. In other words, because it's functional at this size, and it's made specifically to be functional at that size, you can't tell me that I need 3x3. This is not a generic beged. This is a beged that has a particular use. Maybe he would agree that shalom b'makom begadim, even though there's no problem of chatzitz, and of course that's what we're talking about, shalom b'makom begadim, there would still have been a problem of yitur begadim on a bandage, because a bandage is a beged. And despite the fact that it's not the requisite 3x3, it's nonetheless a beged because it's functional as it is. So I'm machshiv it. So that could be that indeed they're not arguing. We don't have a raya for that. Now, there's another lashon in which there's a slight difference in which we have to realign the shitot. The other lashon starts from using the word in the opposite direction. It's really, essentially, the opening over here is only a semantic distinction. Whether we use the word chatzitza, meaning yitur begadim, or we use the word yitur begadim meaning chatzitza, depending on where we start. So the second lashon goes like this: Lishna achrina amrila, Amar Rav Yehuda bereida Rav Chiya lo shani alagami, abotzilzo katan chotzeitz. So over here, the lashon is tzilzo katan chotzeitz, but he doesn't mean chotzeitz. He means tzilzo katan is yitur begadim. There's no difference between this so far and the first Lashon other than a semantical difference, because in this Lashon, he's actually utilizing the word chatzitza because of the machlokas with Rabbi Yochanan, which is to come, as we'll see. So far, there's no halachic nafkamina. So when he's saying comes along Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Oh no, lo amru chatzitza bepachod mishalosh al shalosh. There is no such thing as yitur begadim, even though he's using the word chatzitza. There's no such thing as yitur begadim if it's less than 3x3. Ela bemakom begadim." Because what I really mean here is chatzitza. There could be a chatzitza pachas mishalosh al shalosh if it's b'makom begadim, but then it would be chatzitza. It wouldn't be yitur begadim. So don't talk to me about less than 3x3 being a pagam unless it's b'makom begadim, in which case anything would be a chatzitza. Avashalo b'makom begadim, and there you're talking only about yitur begadim, then only shalosh al shalosh chatzitzot. But pachot mishalosh are not chotzitzot. So now, in this version, he is saying, "Hainu the Rava Amar Rav Chista." This is exactly what Rava Amar Rav Chista said. B'mokem begodim afilu nima achas chotzitzes was the way we had it originally, and shalom b'mokem ha-begodim shalosh ha-shalosh chotzitzes. So far, everything is the same. Ah, the question in this version is, Lema pliga the Rabbi Yehuda, berei the Rabbi Chiya. So now the question over here is, shall we also say that this that Rava said is chelik on Rabbi Yehuda berei Rabbi Chiya, who holds tziltzul katan to be yitur begadim? And we say, shiny tziltzul katan the chashi. So in the second lashon, he's coming bedafka to be chelik on the din of shalosh al shalosh. Whereas the way we had to arrange in the first Lashon, it wasn't necessarily that he was discussing that at all. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the way that we're learning that Tziltzul Katan would be mutter because it's less than Shalosh Al Shalosh, why does it say over here you need to use a geni? Why doesn't it say Tziltzul Katan? Wouldn't that be the normal thing to say? You might think there's a problem of putting on a bandage because maybe it'll come to being yitur begadim. Therefore, you could even use a bandage. A kohen could put a bandaid on his finger. Just say it simple. What do you mean a kohen could put on a piece of reed? No. Milta gavurche kamashon. He wants to come to tell me, by the way, that you should know that geni is masi. I need to know that there's an issue. What's the issue? The issue is a Shabbos issue. Forget about the question of the Yitur Begodim issue, which wouldn't belong in this Masechta at all. So that's something that would be a Din Zvach, and tell me what the Din of Chatzitza is. It's all fine. In bringing it up here, the only reason I bring it up here in Shabbos is because of the issue of Refuah on Shabbat. So Refuah, I need to be Matur only because we're not Gozer, Shvud V'Migdash. Therefore, I bring the case of Gemi in order for me to know, look, you should know that you are not allowed to put a reed on a cut on Shabbos. Why? Because it's a refuah. Now, what's the din of a kohen that puts a reed on a cut? In the Beit HaMikdash, it's mutter because ain't shvut b'mikdash. What about a tziltzul? Good, because it's right. Put on a tziltzul too. If it's pachas b'shalosh ha-shalosh, the way that Rabbi Yochanan is learning. So again, possibly, that would be the way to learn the sugya. Yeah, possibly the tziltzul katan is kosher, and it's also because of yitur begadim. We have two possibilities. Have a wonderful trip. Let's do our kazara before anybody disappears here. Chotchin yabel b'mikdash avelo b'medina v'miklikan v'kanasur v'raminu arkavato v'ahavato mikhutzitchum v'chatif alivalto im dochin. Rebbe Eliezer omer dochin. Answer Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Ezra Rabbi Chanina in two ways. Kadamar hava b'lacha v'lo kasha kan b'yad kan v'kli v'kadamar hava b'yad v'lo kasha b'lacha v'yivishah.